FivalZone.com.
Apple co-founder Steve Jobs dies after a battle with pancreatic cancer. Sarah Palin's dream of being president dies this time around. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're having a fabulous week. If not, give it a couple of days and perhaps things will turn around. At least we can hope, right? Coming up in this hour, we've got your mail. We're going to head to the mailbag. A lot of you starting to throw in even more on the straw polls. Very simple. If you had to elect a president in the next couple of weeks, who would you vote for? So far in our poll, Herman Cain has the lead, and that's trending just like many of the recent polls that have come out. He's got 40 votes. Ron Paul, though, a very close second with 36. What's on tap coming up this week as we continue to roll through on the tug of war over jobs? What are some of the other things that they're wrestling with on the Hill? The skinny on what's going on in D.C. and why you should even care, the buzz in your backyard. Yeah, we're going to give you that, too. But let's start first with the death of Steve Jobs. This is big, obviously, the Apple co-founder, thinking of how he changed a lot of people's lives. And his health has been a pretty controversial topic for years because nothing was really released in the beginning. People knew something was wrong, and there was all this secrecy, and the stock tanked a little bit one day. But he's been battling this terrible form of cancer, pancreatic cancer, and investors were worried, the company's board was worried, his fans were worried, of course, his family. And even in the past couple of years, board members confided to people close to them about their concerns that Jobs, in his ultimate wish for privacy, wasn't being honest enough with the directors of the company about his true condition. And then you knew in August when he resigned as the CEO of the world's biggest technology corporation, his baby that he built from a garage, that it was just a matter of time, even if it was not being said. And he's got an interesting background. I think the interesting thing about Jobs is where he came from, how he developed the things that he developed, and you know, what happened in the founding of Apple, what happened along the way on his revolution as he tried to change things. He certainly changed computer animation. People forget about that. With his other company, Pixar, the iPhone in 2007, that changed everything. That really put him on a different stratosphere than a lot of other people. It's the gadgets that change the access and the use of the internet that so many people will always be connected to Jobs for, because that was his genius. That's what he did. And you have to remember, even as it played out, and there was a movie about this, of course, his famous divorce with the Mac. The subsequent loss of the Mac, his relationship in the early days with the top management and the board simply tanked. The company took most of his power, and then in 1985, he was fired. And, of course, what am I talking about? Well, the company in the beginning, Jobs started Apple Computer with his friend Steve Wozniak in the late 70s, and then they introduced the Apple I computer. It was the Apple II, though, that was the huge success and gave Apple its position as a big-time player in the PC industry. And it led to that IPO that made him a multi-millionaire. But even with all that success, that's what happened when he was fired. And then things changed and fate smiled on him. The purchase of Next, the computer company that Jobs founded after leaving Apple. And in 1997, that brought him back. And then he became the interim CEO. And in 2000, the company dropped interim from his title. People forget about all that background, all the nastiness, the backbiting in the technology world, if that makes any sense. And he was an extraordinarily gifted and talented man. He was a talented person because he was the dream maker. He was the brain power, or at least some of the brain power behind the technology that Apple would then, you know, go on to produce, the things that I mentioned. I mean, what's your favorite? Is it an iPhone? Is it an iPad? Is it the iPod? Who doesn't have some form of the iPod? Still, I know lots of people have switched to one device or whatever, but I still see those on planes. And the iPad, I mean, I don't care what it costs. Somehow people are finding to buy it. The last plane that I got on when I went back to New York a couple of weeks ago, I swear 50% of the plane had iPads. They were iPads. They weren't the imitation variety. They were the full-fledged iPads. Now, certainly even I don't have that. That is caviar budgets at this point. I've got a next book, however. I'm holding that up if you go to americatonight.net, which is a version of that. And I like it. It's different, but it's the poor man's version of the iPad. See, I'm just like the rest of you. I'm caught in the middle, if you will. But Steve Jobs dead at 56. When you think of technology and revolutionizing technology, would you put him right there in the top five of all time? Do you think he hangs around in the top five of all time? I do. I think he does. Forever and a day. I mean, you go back in history and Google him, if you will. Search him, and everybody will be writing, kids will be writing about Steve Jobs when they're talking about who changed the world. He changed the world with his vision. Sarah Palin, will she, won't she run? She ended all the speculation, and how did she do that? Because finally she relented and sort of said, well, yeah, I'm not gonna run. I've decided I'm not going to run. But she talked about a couple of other things, whether or not there should be a third party, and a slew of questions that she's been hammered with for the past couple of months, really. So Sarah speaks.
I would assume that a third party would just guarantee Obama's reelection, and that's the last thing that our Republican affords. So the consideration is not there for a third party, no. I need to be able to say what I want to say and hold both sides of the aisle accountable and call out the wrongheadedness of our quote-unquote leaders who are leading us down this path.
People are going to be worried about 2012 in future months, but that's not where my focus is.
All right, her head's not on 2012, but she's going to speak out a lot about the people that are running. She pops up on Fox. She does a deal on Fox. But she's come up on other forms of media, too. And she'll, I'm sure, do another tour. And she's out there speaking. The speaking thing is very, very big for Sarah Palin. All right, coming up on the flip side, Herman Cain doesn't agree with the protesters in New York or elsewhere across the country. Why? We'll find out what the man who could be president has to say next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. Today is October 5th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $16,1360. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16,5403, $8,2702 for a half ounce, and $4,1351 for a quarter ounce. $16,5403, $8,2702, and $4,1351.
Gold isn't for you? Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, and I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed the government is doing a great job. The Fed will stop handing out trillions like bailout candy, but that's not what's happening. If all looks rosy, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked while gold has risen 1,600%. Savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. Call 800-686-2237. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Speaking of fighting authority, how about protesting? You know, there's a lot of people who don't have any recollection of true protesting. I mean, you really, the 60s, there were protesters, you know, protesting the Vietnam War. And those were where you would get big, big crowds outside of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or in San Francisco over the Golden Gate Bridge, in New York City in the Village, or, you know, wherever. And what's interesting is these protesters that are demonstrating in Wall Street, in and around Wall Street and in other parts of the country, are starting to draw out a wide swing of people. So you'll have people barely 30, you know, men and women, and then you'll have some that are in their 60s that are coming out to the park to speak. You have people that are holding up signs that say, enough, and signs that say, it's time for the people to speak up. But is anybody listening? Knock, knock. Is anybody listening? Thumbs up or thumbs down when it comes to the demonstrators? The demonstrators did post a video on YouTube where you see a cop that's swinging baton to clear a crowd of them, and because it got bigger, you know, there's in New York anyway, there was at one point over 1,000 something, because you threw in union people to this with that hodgepodge of others. And in the video, and I looked at the video, you can't really tell if anyone was bopped on the head or hit or whatever. Officers are allowed to wield those batons and pepper spray when they're trying to control crowds, but you know how that can go. Police brutality, rights that are being usurped, or peaceful protests, you know, things out of control. And there are some that believe that's really part of this protest. It's about fighting authority and screw you and Big Brother and leave us alone and all that. And not so much about we're tired of being the other 99%. And that's what people chanted. People were screaming at one point, we are the 99%, because the 1% is the number that keeps getting thrown around as the wealthiest of the country. But you had union people that trucked in from all over, from other states. And as I said, a very diverse group. You can tell when you just even look at video of the people, those that are occupying Wall Street in these protests that started back on September 17th. I was there on the 18th and saw you had just a couple of dozen, if that, demonstrators who were out around the New York Stock Exchange, and it didn't look so much like much. Now you've got full-on camps that are set up not too far away from that exchange, and they're a little bit more organized. There's legal help. They're printing their own newspaper. All kinds of stuff is happening there. Now, Governor Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, who's running for president, said the protests just are class warfare. That's all that is. That what is it? What are they doing? What is this Occupy Los Angeles, Occupy Boise, Occupy Wall Street? What does it really mean? And so that's my question when people are protesting. Is it draw attention to it? Is it something else? So out of the mouths of babes, here is one of the many people who are out there screaming and shouting and whatnot. A guy named Paul Armstrong that just happened to be plucked by one of the networks for one of those man on the street things. And here's what he had to say about it.
America is fed up with just being forced into poverty.
I can relate to that. Are you fed up with being forced into poverty? And trust me, they haven't seen anything yet, because wait till the rippling effects of what's going on with health care really start to kick in. Herman Cain is enjoying 3 really solid weeks where suddenly he's popping up in the polls. He's winning some of the polls. He's neck and neck with Mitt Romney. Rick Perry has fallen down. Depends on what poll you look at. You know, there's a zillion of them. We know that, right? So on Wednesday, Herman Cain called out the protesters. He says, this is ridiculous. Anti-American, anti-capitalistic. This is a guy who's the former head of Godfather's Pizza. And what's interesting is he pulled up in front of Barnes and Noble, because now his book is selling, his memoir is moving up on the Amazon chain anyway, in a luxury bus. And when he got into the store, people were screaming wildly for him and all that sort of stuff in St. Petersburg, Florida. And he was asked about the protests around the country, because they are around the country, not just in New York. Lower Manhattan happens to be the biggest. His take on it is this.
I don't have facts to back this up, but I happen to believe that these demonstrations are planned and orchestrated to distract from the failed policies of the Obama administration.
Ooh, so he's saying planned distraction. Distraction is a buzzword that I think a lot of you can relate to across America. Aren't we always talking about the distractions that are thrown in front of us? Do you think he's on to something? Do you think this is a distraction or not? What he's saying is what I said, that the people should protest the White House because you don't have the jobs. I mean, listen, I don't agree with what's going on in the banking industry one bit, but I'm a capitalist. If you go back and you look at how this country was founded and you look at the opportunity to grab the brass ring, I mean, really dig deep, each and every one of us, maybe that's getting harder to do, but each and every one of us had that opportunity. That's why people flocked to America, because they believed. They believed in the red, white, and blue. You can grab the brass ring here. You can't do it in a lot of other places. You can't do it. So if you destroy capitalism and you get some form of socialism or something close to it, because I don't think you'd have full-on socialism, but whatever, you get away from the tenets of capitalism, then everybody who wants to control their destiny or think that they can control their destiny, they will surely be disappointed. And if you're not an entrepreneur, if you're not stepping off the plank and trying to create things because it's just not feasible, and you are looking for a decent job, you are looking to make enough money to feed your family, to have a little left over, to be able to send someone to school, to be able to take just a regular vacation, and you need that decent, so-called decent job, well, you need enterprises, you need corporations or companies, whatever, small businesses, to be able to survive and thrive. If you kill those companies, those jobs keep getting cut because we are a nation of, we are becoming a nation of takers and not makers. It used to be we made a lot of things. You can argue about salary, you can argue about conditions, you can argue about all kinds of things, but we're a nation of takers. So thumbs up or thumbs down on the people who say they're not going to take it anymore. Boy, there's all kinds of sides to this thing. It's like looking in a fishbowl and trying to decide what you really are seeing there. And I think that there, without a doubt, this is stuff, and I've already said this, it goes all the way back and sticks in all of our craws, definitely in mine, with what happened in 2008. People who had 401ks or have 401ks have lost $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. It's just a little bit of money. Every year that keeps to add up, keeps adding up. And why? Because of the shenanigans that are happening. Because of the not making things. Because of the poor earnings reports of what used to be solid companies. It all trickles down. And, you know, do we have class warfare already? Romney's calling it out and saying that the protesters are creating that. But could you argue that that's what's being ramped up even in Washington? Because that's what keeps being thrown out. It's like raw meat. That's all that's being talked about. The rich. Do the rich get richer? Should the rich get taxed more? Are they paying their fair share? It's the back and forth over all of that that goes round and round and round. It's what I call pot stirring. Maybe it is a distraction of some sort. Get the people riled up and they're not paying attention to what's really happening. You want to throw in your 2 cents? Don't be shy. It's about communicating. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. We're flipping over the record. Yeah, we got one of those players. And we're going to the B-side.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WISEFoodStorage.com. WISEFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no social security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at BestBloodSupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to BestBloodSupport.com. That's BestBloodSupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Is it power to the people or down with these protests because they're distractions and they seem kind of orchestrated? Are they for real? Is this the new beatnik generation? We're sick of it. We're not going to take this anymore. We're unemployed. We're furious. And we're going to stand strong. Or is there something that lies beneath it all? I think it's a lot of frustrated people because it's too many different kinds of people that are coming together. Kate Delaney, that's my name. This show is America Tonight. A couple of ways that you can throw in your two cents. Don't be shy. I know Wednesday hump day is a rough day for everybody. 800-259-5791. Or you can hit us up through the miracle of the Internet. Speaking of the miracle of the Internet, Steve Jobs, he changed that landscape, didn't he? Absolutely. So you can go to americatonight.net and you can click on the email and you are in. Boom. Just like that. Who writes letters anymore? Not very many people. A lost art, but it looks like we're not losing the post office, as a non sequitur I'm going to throw in here, because the United States Post Office apparently is getting bailed out in a different way. They're going to figure out a way to have the money to maintain instead of slashing so many of the spots that they were going to have to get rid of. I think ultimately there won't be Saturday mail delivery. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how many of you feel this way, because it's interesting. With the death of Steve Jobs, it made me think about this. I think technology is awesome. I mean, the things that I've been able to do in this kind of a career with technology is incredible. The fact that a studio can just be in a box is, I mean, really, in a box is amazing. You can broadcast anywhere through the miracle of the Internet. And the things that you're able to record on, the things that you're able to use, just absolutely mind-boggling how fast technology is moving. On the other hand, I can remember being at college and getting letters and cards from family, cousins, whatever, and I thought that was so cool. Go down to the chow hall, you know, with your friends and hit the mailbox, and you had a bunch of mail in there. You know, my cousin sending me $10 for beer money or whatever it was. But there's something about that feel touch thing with the letter. Do you remember the last time that you received a letter? Are there letters that you, I'm saying you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. I mean, older, I think you've kept letters. Do you have any letters that you've hung on to? I thought about that, and I thought, man, have I dragged around any letters? And I have a letter from one of my favorite aunts. She was so cool. She was into sports, and she was into politics, too. So who knows? Maybe she inadvertently set me on this crazy, nutty path. And her letter that I found was from October 25th, 1998. And, you know, she just talks about the neighborhood, that she meant to enclose a clipping. And when she mailed it the other day, the letter, and she said, good luck to you and what you're doing, and that she saw my grandfather go by with his daily walk, and he looked very spry, and all this other kind of stuff. But it was neat. I mean, she caught me up to date on what was happening with my brother and blah, blah, blah. How many of you have letters, have a letter that you can hang on to? In the future, there's not going to be too many of those, because how many people are sending mail? Everything is snail mail. And speaking of snail mail, what a segue. We're going to go to our own mailbag.
DeMail! DeMail is here!
Woo!
Ah, Homer Simpson. Yes, he knows all about the mail. He had a few little incidents with mail, didn't he? In his hometown. Okay, so several of you have actually had something to say about the people that have been arrested as the union jumped in on these protests near Wall Street and in some other places. And here's what some of you are saying. This one is from Chuck, who says, to all of the lame protesters, enjoy your camp out, then go home. Keep applying for that job. Then you can tell the person who's trying to recruit you, or that you're desperate to have recruit you, what you've been doing. Why don't you get a life and stop living off of someone else's dime? How about this? Wannabe organizers. These are people that really can't hold down a job or get a real job. They need some kind of direction. They're like lemmings. They're like sheep. They need to be led. Boy, just like everybody else, huh? So sad, so sad. It's easier to protest than produce. Yeah, takers, not makers. That's my new saying, takers, not makers. But whose fault is that? You have to have the opportunity to be a maker. Geez, what about all these people? Don't they have to work? Must be nice to be able to demonstrate. I work my rear end off. I'm editing that. Long hours. This is from Bob, by the way. To enjoy the things I have. I'm not in one of those fancy unions. It seems that the people protesting are nincompoops that have never had to work a day in their life. Ridiculous. Can't agree with what they're doing. This one's from Rose, who says, this is nothing but a taker's generation. They have absolutely no pride in the red, white, and blue. Why don't they get off their butts and work? Why do they sit there looking for the handout, saying it's not fair. They're crying and they're whining. They're lazy with a capital L. Get out and work. Wow. Is anybody supporting them? I'm going to dig through. Let's see. Here's another one. This one's from Grown Man. I like that. Grown Man. All right. Grown Man says, America Tonight. Why do people beat up the demonstrators? Good for them that they're out there saying we're sick of it and we're not going to take it anymore. Why do people keep calling them unemployed? How do you know they're unemployed? How do you know they're not taking time off to be part of the protest? How do you know they're not there for a day or two? Instead of whining behind the scenes, they're getting out there in front of the curve. I don't understand why they're getting criticized. That's ridiculous. Okay, so one out of all those emails that I read, one supporting it. Wow. A lot of you chimed off on something that I've talked about for the last couple of weeks, and we've talked about before that. Operation Fast and Furious. Operation I Don't Know Nothing. I Didn't See Anything. That's really expanding because the Republicans, they're not going to let this die. They're not just going to slurk away on this one. And it's an easy thing to beat the drum on, especially since they have Eric Holder, the attorney general, in a couple of different areas. Now you have Senator Cornyn from Texas, John Cornyn, who's saying that this is a cover-up. He knew what was going on. He knew about a government-sanctioned gun-running scheme that allowed all those assault weapons to fall into the drug cartels. And this Cornyn is one of the key senators involved in the investigation. So he's echoing what Lamar Smith is saying, that he needs to be investigated, that they have to look at Holder, because when he testified, he said he didn't know anything, but yet there's documents that clearly say, that have come to light, that clearly say he knew what was happening. And you can go back to comments that were made in April of 2009, where he talked about a program. And the documents that came from the Justice Department that were given up to the committee show that he was getting notes, getting stuff from the National Drug Intelligence Center. He's getting weekly updates in July of last year that talked about the program by name. So there's no confusion. Operation Fast and Furious. What do you think the Attorney General is going to say? I have no idea what that is. He was getting weekly updates about the guns being trafficked to Mexico. He clearly said he didn't know until May of this year. It was like around May 2nd or 3rd or something. That's when he said he first knew about the program. Over the last couple of weeks. I mean, clearly they have him here. Because he's reading these memos. Is he going to say, I didn't read the memos? How can he say that? He can't. So they got him on this one. Now the question is, what happens with this? If you've got this investigation, and you have these memos, and you have some of this tape, even from the year before, can't something be done with this? I mean, how does he clear these hurdles? Because clearly, he had to have known about it. I mean, I don't send back answers to emails that I haven't read. Do you do that? I'm thinking you probably don't. If you're called in for some kind of review or shown some piece of paper, and they always say, sign it or whatever it is. Would you not read it? Would you not know what it says? I don't believe that there's people underneath him that simply didn't pass that on, and he only knew because of the border agent's death. So I think they've got him in a vice right now. What happens with it, though? What happens with this? Can you imagine if this was the Bush administration? You don't think that they would have squeezed the Attorney General then? Oh, his head would pop off. He'd have to resign immediately. I'm just saying, it's the same thing here. Fair or foul, it's definitely foul if they don't get Holder on something. Hang with us.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products, and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare, one American at a time.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Holder has to be squirming. Tough to deny. I don't care what your stripes are. It's not a pound, it's not even pounding on the administration. Just look at him as the attorney general. How do you get around that? It's the same as anybody who testifies, like Roger Clemens, who goes on trial, and then they want to try him again. Because did he use steroids or not? Now we could argue about the waste of having baseball players trotted up before Congress, because that's such a show and it's so easy, such an ultimate layup to just lay into ball players about steroids and what do you think should happen in the game and whatever. But ultimately, he was accused of lying on the record to Congress. So why would that be any different than at a higher level in a different scenario? You look at Holder, and Holder clearly is on the record. They're on the record with those memos of knowing about the gun running operation, and he's saying he didn't know about it until May of this year. So how does nothing happen with this? It doesn't make sense to me. Also now, see, it's perfect. You have this clearing of the past. You have a new ATF head who wants to get past the scandal, meaning Operation Fast and Furious. The acting head is Todd Jones, B. Todd Jones. And he said, you know, that they're under review. It's under review. They're looking at all aspects of it because, you know, that's not going to be tolerated. We're making sure what happened there. We're going after whatever it is. We're forging a new path beyond the controversy of it. Well, before they forge the new path, they got to figure out what happened on the old path. And just to renew this, if you tuned in and you have no idea, what's she talking about? What's it? Operation what? Operation Fast and Furious was these tactics that the ATF used in Arizona to get major gun runners. That was it. It was the gun runners, because let's get there first before the cartels. It happened late in 2009. They planned to follow people who bought guns, hoping that the suspects would lead them to the heads of the Mexican cartels. But some of the weapons, the AK-47s, etc., that were part of the investigation ended up in crime scenes in the U.S., and in Mexico, and it included the murder of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry last year. That's when there was this new awareness. So the new head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is saying that we've made a dozen personnel changes in leadership, including two associated with Fast and Furious, and there have been some difficult times at ATF. Oh, I'm so sorry. Because of a case in a division that's getting a lot of attention is what he's saying. But there's good work being done. Okay, no doubt you have people in field offices all over the place that have thwarted all kinds of crazy, nutty things that could happen in this country. I know two ATF agents who are great at what they do. And you may know somebody who was in that line of work or is in that line of work or whatever. I don't doubt that. But let's not go through that issue. Let's just drill it down and say, who knew what? Who knew what was going on? I mean, so they have reassignments. But, and you want to rearrange the deck chairs, but that's not going to make the whole Fast and Furious thing go away. It's not going to go away. Oops, okay, we changed. No, uh-uh. There shouldn't be any sleight of hand here, and I don't think there's going to be. I don't think so. I think that they're going to have to nail someone for this. And this is what I love, too. I don't give a flip what Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, says. So he's expressed his disappointment over the investigation because of the allegedly being left in the dark about it. Really? So now we're going to inform Mexico about everything we're doing? Absolutely. Why not? After all, he did stand before our two chambers and criticize Arizona for the policy that never even went into effect that he believed was discriminatory toward people from his country coming in illegally to our country. I mean, come on. All right, let's hit a few. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick, you have the floor. What's up, my friend?
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
He didn't, Eric Holder didn't know nothing about this Fast and Furious. What he knew about was under George Bush, they started that in 2006.
Oh, he knew about Fast and Furious. He's on the record with those memos and back in 2009 over running guns.
Yeah, well, he got mixed up on his years. He meant 2006. That's what he knew about.
Bush, you think?
Cheney, they started the program, so that's what they got mixed up on.
Sure. If you say so.
Well, it's true. Bush, they started in 2006.
Not the full bore. No, not the full bore following and having those guns go over, end up over to the cartels. No.
Yeah.
Not the full. No. I know someone with the ATF, my friend. I got good info on this, and that is a smokescreen somewhat. Yes, they were. There was some involvement there, but baloney that Eric Holder did not complicitly become part of this. He's the attorney general. He signs off on this stuff, and he did not have to sign off on any of it, and he full on knew it. He could have said, yes, I knew it was happening. Okay, that's what we were doing, and it's a botched operation. Or we inherited part of this, and we ramped up more. He didn't do that.
Yeah. Anyway, Bush one started it all, 2006. That's probably where you get it mixed up on the years.
So. Then he shouldn't be attorney general if he can't keep his years straight.
What?
Come on. You got to give me that. You are not. Are you defending Eric Holder?
No, it's true. Look it up. Bush started in 2006. They started that gun, try and track the, what they do on their thing. And then he just got mixed up on the years. He didn't know nothing about this. Wait a minute. By the way, you thought they were talking about Bush started in 2006.
No, I agree with you. I agree that there was some of that that started, yes, under the Bush people, yes. It was called... It was called Operation Wide Receiver. That's what it was called then. And then the Operation Fast and Furious, if you wanted to seg into that from what my sources tell me, that's what happened. So it went from one form, it took one form, then flipped into another, because the Operation Wide Receiver, they let guns be transferred basically to suspected gun traffickers, and that's what they were doing there, right? And then when it was blown wide open with what then became Operation Fast and Furious, really pumping more of them in to others' hands who were running them, that's what he's saying he's denying, and you can't deny that. I mean, that's gun walking. How can they say that? So, I agree with and I don't always agree with some of the names that I'm throwing out there. It's easy to be the guy going after somebody on this, but whether it's ISA from California, whether it's him, whether it's any of the other folks that are on this committee, I mean, this is a layup. Because Holder was dead wrong. What they're saying is that the Justice Department is saying he's been consistent and truthful. But I don't think so, because I've gone back and I looked at that, and it's not, even the Justice Department's own watchdog is looking into this. They're investigating this to make sure, because they're concerned about how far up it went up the chain and what was known. So I think there's just a tad more to the story. If you want to throw in your two cents, you can always do it by shooting us an email at americatonight.net.